out there, podcast land, and welcome back to Spoilers, a special edition for Halloween, your movie review podcast where your hosts have lots of opinions but zero credentials. I am your host, Van Helsing Hollywood, and I'm joined by my two co-hosts, the Master of Terror Maestro and the Analytical Adam.
Yeah.
Introduce yourself to the fans.
Thank you.
That was more of a goat.
Yeah. I don't know what voice I was doing right there. I think I was trying to do like the Igor.
I was trying to figure out
Frankenstein.
Igor, what are you doing?
Oh, Maestro, welcome to the lab. Today in the studio, we are watching Halloween. Not the classic that everybody loves, but the remake that everybody hated. Directed by Rob Zombie, starring Scout Taylor Compton, Tyler Mane, Malcolm McDowell, my mortal enemy. I'll get to that.
Oh.
Danielle Harris, Brad Dourif, and Sherry Moon Zombie.
Are we going to talk like this all day?
I don't think I can.
No,
okay. I'm going to go back to my normal voice.
Okay.
So before we jump in, there is a little bit.
What happens in the show? You can be like, can't speak anymore.
Yeah.
We'll take a break.
There's a little history with Halloween. So last Halloween, the holiday.
Yes, last year.
Last year.
A year ago.
We were going to release Halloween, the John Carpenter one with Jamie Lee Curtis, because Adam never saw it.
Yeah,
and Adam heard from everybody, this is one of the best horror movies ever made. It set up all the slasher movies. And Adam didn't like it, shockingly.
I think we all agreed it was pretty bad, or dated, I should say, very dated. So we ended up piling it together. We were going to do also Trick or Treat in the same episode, just to rush through it. Too much. I mean, we could. All right. Never mind.
Now, I like horror movies. This is my month.
Right.
This is my deal right here.
Yeah.
I love horror movies. And I like Halloween, but for someone who doesn't like old movies, Adam, I didn't think you would like that Halloween. So I said, what if we do the Rob Zombie Halloween? Because it's a little updated and there's more gore, there's a little more action to it. There's more white trash stuff involved.
Oh, yeah.
So we wound up losing that episode because on the program we use, save and close are right next to each other.
So stupid.
So
you got a file save right underneath that is close. So
if you're off by an inch, you lost everything.
We're still working out the bugs a little bit a year ago for certain things.
We've been in training all year to get this episode out.
Right, that's what it was.
All the previous episodes you heard, Stolen, Obsessed. It was all training to get this episode out.
Very except good. For like the comedic value for the voices that we were doing before for like the horror things.
Yeah, that's true. We should mention that.
Yeah. that was totally
it's improv.
Yeah, improv. So let's jump into it. I already said who was directed by. So Rob Zombie directed two horror movies prior to this. He did House of a Thousand Corpses, which was sort of like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre meets From Dusk Till Dawn meets every slasher movie ever made.
I thought it was more like Hills Have Eyes.
And more Hills Have Eyes.
Was that him also?
No. That was Alexandre Aja, a French director. Then he did the sequel to that, the semi-quasi-sequel, which is The Devil's Rejects, which is that same family from the first one, on the road. And
FBI is chasing after him.
Yeah. Sid Haig, who's a Quentin Tarantino regular, like Tarantino loves this guy. Sid Haig played the clown in this movie. He was the guy who worked at the cemetery. Goddamn kids, they think I have time to do all this shit.
Oh.
That's him.
Okay.
So Rob Zombie, when I saw House of a Thousand Corpses, I saw it by Frederica, who I go to Comic-Con with.
All right.
He loves horror movies too. We saw it and we were like, man, this movie fucking sucks.
Thank you.
I was
worried you were going to say it was awesome.
No, House of a Thousand Corpses, it was our bar for every movie. So let me give you an example.
Okay.
Me and him saw Elektra with Jennifer Garner. Elektra sucked, right?
Okay.
We would say it's better than House, as in House of a Thousand Corpses.
Oh, okay.
Then Devil's Rejects came out, and then we went to Comic-Con, and I got a free Devil's Rejects t-shirt, and I was rocking that shit. Everyone's like, I thought you hated House. I go, I did. Saw Devil's Rejects. I still didn't like it, but I was like, I got a free shirt out of it.
All right.
Whatever.
Yeah.
But William Forsythe was in it. William Forsythe in this movie was the mom's boyfriend.
Okay.
Bitch, if you don't think I'm writing down every fucking thing you say to my memory, I like him. He's a good character actor. William Forsythe?
Yeah, yeah.
I'll always remember him from Deuce Bigelow. Like, look at my dick. It's thin.
Thankfully, I never saw Deuce Bigelow. Yeah. So
let me hit you with a brief synopsis, and then we'll jump into business as usual.
All right.
After being committed for 17 years, Michael Myers, now a grown man and still very dangerous, escapes from the mental institution where he was committed as a 10-year-old, and he immediately returns to Haddonfield, Illinois, where he wants to find his baby sister, Lori.
Mm-hmm.
So in the synopsis, it tells you Lori is his baby sister.
Okay.
Okay. In the Halloween mythos, I've seen all,
yeah.
I think there's 10 of them now.
Oh, Jesus.
So the Rob Zombie Halloween, the Rob Zombie sequel to this, they are not in the original 8.
Right.
This is like a remake, its own timeline.
Okay.
So from the original Halloween, Michael comes back and he's just targeting Lori.
Right.
You don't find out that's his sister until the seventh one, H2O.
Oh, is that right?
That's when you find out that they're brother and sister.
Oh. Okay.
So I think that's scarier from the original Halloween because it's just a random attack. He's just targeting random girls.
Right.
Right off the bat, we know it's a sister.
Right.
But I mean, everybody knows that's a sister now. So I mean, if you're a fan of Halloween, you already know, but I like the notion from the original that it was just a random attack that he has no reason to chase after her.
Okay.
Like, that's what makes it scary is just that it could have happened to anybody.
Huh. Okay. So there was no allusion in the first Halloween series is where, like, you know, like, they come to it the same way where a cop says, oh, I dropped off the kid at some distant town.
They didn't even say that in the first one, I don't think, right?
What do you mean?
This is jumping ahead in this movie already. But later on in the movie, when we find out for reals that this is the sister, the cop says, "I came to see the mother kill herself.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a baby there.
Oh,
I took the baby to a different town.
Oh, okay. No. Well, in fact, Halloween, all the stuff we see in this movie about him with the white trash family and everything, that's in the original.
Okay.
He gave him a backstory, which I didn't like. Okay. I kind of like this movie, but then I kind of don't.
Okay.
I don't like that he got a backstory
mm-hmm.
because you had what made this little kid scary was that he was the little kid and he just killed his sister randomly one night. And that's what made it scary.
Okay.
Here you see that he was bullied. Then his mom was a stripper and she lived with an asshole
mm-hmm.
boyfriend who was crippled. I didn't have to know all this stuff. All
right.
But then I like that they upped it. They made it a little more modern, more gore, more violence.
Mm-hmm.
Cause like you said, the other one was dated.
Okay. Yeah, it was very dated.
Yeah.
And I guess for me, the story helps.
Uh-huh.
I enjoy the fact that they give a little bit of background as to why he's this mess, because it makes it real. It puts it in my world, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense that this kid is so crazy.
Oh, so it's established. This would be in your world.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Because based on all the shit this kid went through.
Uh-huh.
Well, of course he's going to be this way. So it makes it more realistic to me. Mm-hmm. So it brings it into a more real world. Whereas, as far as with the old one, it was just kind of like, this guy's stupid. He's a horrible killer, and he's just real bad for no reason, and he just somehow has superpowers.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I know, okay, he's real fucked up in the head.
Yeah.
So he's a real person. He's not just some alien killing machine. Mm-hmm. He's killing because he's all messed up.
Yeah.
And he's superpowers because he's big. In this movie, he's a fucking giant.
Yeah.
He's like 12 feet tall or something crazy. It's outrageous.
Yeah.
But yeah, I enjoyed the story.
And for some reason, he has the perfect, like, posture, too. That was weird. No?
Not I don't
weird?
Know about that.
Yeah, he had perfect posture the whole time.
When adult Michael Myers?
Yeah.
Hmm.
And the kid
never noticed that.
Well, he was always slouching over in his cell, though.
Exactly.
Making his mask.
Yeah, as soon as he stood up, perfect posture every time.
Okay.
A little weird.
Because
honestly, if a person's, like, hanging around, bent over like that for that many years,
yeah,
it's a good chance he won't be having a perfect posture.
That's what you took from this movie?
Yeah.
He has good posture.
Yeah, he had good posture. Yeah.
Interesting.
But the white trashiness was a little cartoony for me at the beginning.
Yes.
It was way excessive. Like, this is, I understand sometimes can be that way.
And that's what Rob Zombie's style is. Because House of a Thousand Corpses was like a white trash hillbilly family.
Then
Devil's Rejects was like a white trash family.
I think that was just too much of it.
That was way too much.
Yeah. Even in this movie, I felt like there's too much because everyone that actually focalized mm-hmm. towards Mike doing like bad things to him, they're all the exact same acting, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in my first note here, it says, why are the Myers white trash? In the original one, they seem like upper middle class. Because in the original one, Michael stabs his sister and he comes out and the mom and dad are coming home and the dad's wearing a suit and tie and the mom's wearing a dress. So they're coming back from somewhere formal.
Okay.
And they had a nice Lincoln.
Okay.
So, mm-hmm. and they lived in a very nice, like, white neighborhood. And
I was
like,
a two-story house, I'm
like,
at least.
Yeah, and yeah. I'm like, what the hell? I'm like, what the fuck's happening here?
Yeah. Okay.
But I already saw this movie. Is this the first time you guys saw this movie?
Yes.
No, I had seen it before, but I had forgotten about it.
Oh, okay.
I forgot I started watching it until I saw the cripple in the chair yelling. I'm like, oh, I remember that.
Okay.
Okay.
But it's like you saw it, dude.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I forgot about it, though.
Okay.
Because I don't know when I saw it, because when we watched the first Halloween last year,
yeah.
it was still all new to me.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't put it together. And I feel like I may have seen that one before, the other one.
Okay.
But not known. I don't know. It didn't stick with me. It wasn't like, uh-huh. oh, this is an amazing movie. So I now remember everything about it.
Mm-hmm.
I was still watching it again almost for the first time, even though I'd already seen it before.
Okay. Mm. There's, want to know what my second note is?
Yeah.
They introduced Sherry Moon Zombie, who's his wife. She's the Michael Myers' mom.
Oh, that's
Rob Zombie's wife.
Oh,
he puts her in every single movie.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah, Sherry Moon Zombie.
Rob Zombie.
Do you want to know what my second note is?
What?
I go, holy shit! Rob Zombie's wife looks like that wrestling chick you guys hang out with.
Oh,
it looks like her and it sounds like her.
Interesting.
Yeah, watch it again. It sounds like her. Like the voice is similar, and she kind of looks like her. Sort
okay.
of. I'm not saying she's white trash. I'm just saying that
yeah.
the features are similar and the,
right.
the voice.
Talking about Buggy Nova, by the way. She's on the podcast a while ago. If you want to go to the archives,
yeah.
But yeah, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I had to make that connection.
Yeah.
But I didn't notice though that there's a lot of boobs in the movie.
Yeah.
You didn't notice the boobs?
Hold on. But not hers.
No.
But she was the only one that was actually of age. For us to be seeing her boobs. Everyone else is a 16-year-old kid,
yeah.
which we're seeing their boobs.
Yes.
So they're like, that's
oh, shit. I never put that connection
yes.
together. Because in a lot of slasher movies, they're mm-hmm. always, well, not always, but a lot of them are like college-age kids.
Yeah. You would assume they're
Holy
at least 18.
Shit.
In this movie, they are all 16-ish.
Yeah.
15, 16 years old.
Oh, damn.
So I was like, whoo.
I never
of
thought of that.
Movie. And the one that's of age, that's a stripper, we don't see her boobs. I'm just like, oh, interesting choice. But that's his wife? That
yeah.
makes sense.
So they live with, it's Michael Myers' sister,
yep.
who, if you know Halloween, you know she's going to die at some
yep.
point in the movie, who I met at a horror movie convention.
Which sister?
He only has one, well. Okay.
All right. Present day sister or flashback sister?
So there's the, Lori.
Right.
Is a baby.
Right.
Then he has another sister who's white trash and like a bitch
yeah.
and a slutty girl.
Yeah.
And then there's William Forsythe, who's a good character actor. He has like a cast on
yeah.
his foot and his arm for some reason.
And finger.
He broke his fingers also.
Yeah. And he's such a prick in this movie. he thinks that Michael is going to be gay.
Yeah.
And I wrote down an exact quote. He'll probably cut his balls off and go by Michelle.
Right. Michelle, my belle, how are you this morning?
Such a prick.
It's very weird. It was a weird way to go, too. At one point, he's like, oh, you really kill all those kids? Or all those animals? You kill those animals? Was that fun for you? That's so faggy.
Why don't you kill a real man?
Yeah, I was yeah. like, what the hell? Killing animals is faggy? How is that faggy? I have no... That's just like a weird connection.
You're taking a life.
Yes.
That's like the most manly thing
that's
you could
pretty,
do.
Yes, it's hunting. It's pretty much hunting, and it's faggy. Like, that guy's weird.
I think because they're small animals and he's not like hunting a person.
I guess.
I don't know.
It's just, that's his character though. His
so
character
by, so by definition, if he hunted a bear and killed him, oh, well, a little fag. It's an animal. A little bitch.
So weird. But nah. that's the character he's meant to portray. He's
yeah.
meant to portray that just unbridled douchebag.
Uh huh.
He's like mooching off with his girl and the family, and he's
yeah.
like talking shit to everybody. He's like, it's a bad move, man.
And he throws all the stuff on the table. Now clean it up!
Yeah.
Like, holy shit.
Yeah.
I remember Michael Myers coming for this broken home.
Right. Well, see, and that makes sense to me, though.
Yeah. Okay, so that's the first thing.
Yeah.
He has a shitty home life.
Super
and he's
shitty.
Dissecting animals.
Yeah.
Because the first time you see Michael, he's in the bathroom, and he has a little
scalpel.
Blade, a scalpel,
mm-hmm.
and there's blood all over it. So it looks like he's cutting something.
Mm-hmm.
So then he goes.
It was a rat. He had
yeah,
to have something to
it was him. A rat. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then he goes to school and he's peeing in the stall and he hears this bully kid come in and then Michael Myers was ready to leave without washing his hands. I was like, what the fuck are you doing?
I didn't notice that.
I understand you want to avoid the bullies, but come on.
Yeah.
I guess
really?
Serial killers have no hygiene either.
Right. Yeah. I guess at one point when he gets the mask out from underneath the rafters,
uh-huh.
he puts it on without wiping it off. Also.
Oh yeah.
So
oh, I forgot to mention that he's wearing a clown mask.
Oh, right.
It's like one of those cheap plastic
yeah.
with the rubber band,
with the rubber
behind,
band
it. Yeah.
behind it. Yeah. So he likes wearing masks. And we find out later on that he's creating a separate, it's creating a wall of protection.
Right.
When he's behind the mask, he feels like safe. Like he's his own self. That
right.
He's a different person.
Invincible almost.
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, he goes to school. There's a whole thing. The kids are talking shit to him. Again, also, I think this is like fantasticized.
What?
Fantasized.
No, it's like made fantastical.
Oh, okay.
Man, why did you
there's a word for that. fantasticalization.
No.
It's way overdone. It's exaggeration of that interaction. Where the kid's like, hey, your mom's a whore. Look at this whore stuff. I'm gonna pay her to suck my dick and all this like weird, like, whoa.
He brings out a newspaper ad of his mom.
Yeah.
At the strip club.
Right. It's just like, I can't imagine that level of bullying is like not just on movies. Like, I can't see that happening in real life.
But in the Rob Zombie white trash world.
Yeah. It's all it makes fantasticalized. Sense. What's that word? God damn it. All right. Anyway.
So the principal comes in and hears him fighting and he breaks them up. There's a lot of cameos in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'll go by each cameo as we get them. And a lot of them are guys who are in other horror things.
Right.
And I kept thinking that principal has got to be in something. So I IMDb'd him while watching the movie. He was in a lot of TV shows and he was in a couple like exploitation movies from the 70s. Okay. So I'm guessing it was in some weird movie.
I've seen him before.
He looks so familiar.
He looks fake. Like he was
his
like,
face.
His face
looked melted.
Made up.
Yeah. I thought it was like Willem Dafoe with a mask on.
That's not true. He said that. I'm like, what? Willem Dafoe? Are you kidding me? It looked like a weird mask thing. Like they tried to make somebody look old. Mm-hmm. But then I was like, this is a flashback. They're going to want him to look old later.
Uh-huh.
So they can't, it was very confusing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, he tells the principal, fuck you. And he grabs him and gets him his office. So they call the mom down.
Yeah.
She's like, you think I like coming down here every day, Michael?
Yeah.
So she goes, well, go home.
Yeah. Plus we found this cat in your son's backpack.
Yeah. And she goes, what's wrong with that?
Like she was, I know.
The mom was defending it. he's just playing with it.
So he found some roadkill. Who cares?
Oh, and then we're introduced to my mortal nemesis, Malcolm McDowell, playing the role of Dr. Loomis.
I almost didn't recognize him.
One of the world's most renowned child therapists.
Right.
Now, let me tell you a little story about why I hate Malcolm
McDowell. I was about to ask. Good.
Comic-Con 2010.
Oh, no.
I went with people I worked with at Best Buy at the time.
Okay.
And I saw Malcolm McDowell walking the floor. Now, he's one of these like celebrities who's always there, $20 for an autograph. But he was actually walking the Comic-Con floor.
Was he there for Heroes at the time?
Might have been.
Okay.
Because he was the bad guy in Heroes.
Right.
So, I see McDowell, and I tell my friend, now she's just my friend, I'm not going out with her, she's my lady friend, okay? I say, oh my god, it's Malcolm McDowell, let's go. So she goes, hi Mr. McDowell, I'm a big fan of your movies, I love The Clockwork Orange, and he puts his arm around her, and he looks her up and down, and he goes, hello dear, like that, in his British accent.
Oh.
And I don't care, cause I don't like her or anything. So she goes, is it cool if we take a picture? And he looks at me, and he looks at her, and he goes, I'll take a picture with you, my dear, like that. So I take a picture of him. So she shakes his hand, like, oh, big fan, Mr. McDowell. And he kisses her, like he kisses her hand.
Okay.
And I hold my hand out, like, good to see you, Mr. McDowell. And he just goes, yeah. And he walks away.
Wow.
That was strike one.
Holy hell.
Another time at Comic-Con. Same day.
Okay.
Same day. She's in the bathroom. And I was like, I'll wait for her. Malcolm McDowell is walking by me. I go, oh, Mr. McDowell, how are you? And he goes, who are you? I go, I took a picture of you earlier with my friend. He goes, oh, where's that pretty little thing at? He's like looking around. I go, she's in the restroom. He goes, ah. And he just walked away from me. Strike two. Now, I used to intern for Malik Akkad.
Okay.
Malik Akkad, executive producer of this movie.
Of this movie?
Yeah. So he has a nonprofit thing, and Malcolm McDowell was the guest of honor.
Okay.
And I had to help Mr. McDowell, like, I kind of helped, like, coordinate stuff at the event for him.
Uh-huh.
So I see Mr. McDowell, I go, hey, Mr. McDowell, how are you, sir? Knowing that he was a prick to me twice.
Right.
Like, 2 years ago. Hey, Mr. McDowell, why don't you come over here? He goes, look, young man, I just had a long drive. I'm going to take a little rest. I go, yeah, but Malik really wants to see you upstairs in the office for this thing. He needs you to sign some paperwork. He's like, once again, young man, I am too tired to go. So you tell Malik to come see me. Now, I know you're just an intern or some unpaid person who's volunteering, thinking he's going to be a person in Hollywood. So why don't you relay that message to him? Thanks.
Fuck.
Wow.
And I was like, fuck Malcolm McDowell. So every time I see Malcolm McDowell, I'm like, fuck Malcolm McDowell.
Jesus.
Yeah.
All right. It makes sense.
No.
Anyway, we're introduced to Malcolm McDowell. Oh, and really funny. In my old boss, Malik, who I love. I love Malik. He was a cool guy.
Okay.
In his wall, he has a Clockwork Orange poster, and it's autographed. So one of my first weeks in there, I go in his office and I go, oh my God, that's a cool poster. Is it signed by Stanley Kubrick? He goes, no, it's signed by Malcolm McDowell, the star. He's a pretty cool guy. What do you think of him? So I had a lie to him. I was like, oh yeah, he's a cool guy, I guess. Knowing that he was a dick to me at Comic-Con.
Okay.
And then like a few weeks later, he was a dick to me at his thing.
All right.
Whatever.
So screw that guy.
So they introduced Malcolm McDowell. Sorry. And he tells him, you know, these are early stages of something bad. Look at these pictures, and it's pictures of different rodents and animals, like close up. It looks like they were run over, or he was cutting them up, or something.
Yeah, They were dead in some way, shape, or form. I assume they were all roadkill, but then as like that's a lot of coincidence. there's a lot of there's a lot of stupid animals in this town.
And those don't look like Polaroids.
God, dude,
it was weird. All riled
up. They weren't Polaroids.
Yeah, yeah. All right, okay. All right. Well, he doesn't have that big a role in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. So
he's peppered in and out.
So. Yeah.
So that bully kid's leaving. He's like, man, we got to find that kid and fuck him up on the weekend so we don't get in trouble. If I get suspended again, my mom will chew my ass out. So he's walking through the forest alone. He's taking a detour. And then Michael comes out and just beats him to death with a stick.
A giant, a giant branch or something.
Branch. And, okay, I understand that when he gets older, he gets super strength because he's Michael Myers. How fucking strong could this kid be to fuck you up with a branch?
Adrenaline.
Yeah, well,
could it be adrenaline?
It was also pretty thick.
Okay.
It was a thicker branch, which I guess would have made it harder to lift also.
Yeah.
But, I bought that. I bought it.
Okay.
Yeah. It was thick enough and, like that would do some damage.
Yeah. I mean, Michael Myers pretty much killed the Spy Kid from the Spy Kids.
So, okay. That's him?
Yeah, that's him.
Oh, another cameo.
Spy Kids?
Yeah. the boy from the Spy Kids duo.
No, I'm a little confused why you're watching Spy Kids.
Dude, why wouldn't I?
Isn't that with like Antonio Banderas?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, Bubba.
What's wrong with this?
And Stallone's in the third one or the fourth one or something?
Oh, no, but those are all crazy, crazy kid movies. Like, so crazy, like, stupid, simple.
So simple. I like the gadgets.
All right.
So he dies. I didn't know he was from Spy Kids.
Yeah.
That's another cameo I got to put in here.
All right.
He should be.
Sure. I feel like we're setting the bar really low with cameos, though.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Well, no, there's some. If you like horror movies, there's some gem cameos.
Oh, yeah. Is that right?
Yeah. Okay. There's some gems.
So I missed most of these, then, I'm sure.
Yeah, you probably were like, oh, okay, I guess.
All right.
But you must have known that, like, the black guy, we're jumping ahead a little bit, the black trucker guy that he takes his suit, you must have known he must have been somebody.
I recognized him from something.
Okay, I'll explain who he is.
Okay.
So this all takes place on Halloween Day.
Right.
Because the opening credit says Haddonfield, Halloween.
Right.
And it doesn't give us a year. So is this supposed to be in the 70s? Like, is he making the story in the 70s like the original Halloween?
No, he's making it more current. Because what's present day is present day. It's 2007. So 2007 minus 15.
You didn't say I don't think it ever said present day.
Well, the cell phones that they had were kind of.
They had cell phones?
Yeah.
Yeah. Someone said, let me borrow your phone.
Yeah. At one point, the girl banged that dude in the abandoned house, calls a friend on her cell phone.
Mm, yeah, that's right.
So this has to be 1997.
So it's somewhere in our time. It's closer to our time.
Right, yeah. So,
okay.
So originally, I would place this back in like maybe early 90s.
Okay.
I mean, late 90s.
Early 90s.
Late 90s. Early 90s had pagers.
Right. The flashback scene.
But there were
still
phones.
The flashback scene.
But early 90s. They weren't
flash forward.
That used, though.
Flash forward 2007.
Okay.
Present day is 2007-ish.
Yeah, okay. But I don't think it had happened in 2007, though.
Cell phones?
No, in the movie.
Right.
I don't think it happened in 2007 at all, in any of that part of the movie.
What?
this thing, I was confused on what era these years were taken in.
Current.
Okay.
What's happening right now in the movie, like the real Mike Myers 7 foot tall Mike Myers, that is in the year 2000-ish.
Okay.
2000 to 2007, that's when that happened, because of the cell phone technology.
Okay.
That's all I'm basing it on.
Okay.
The cell phones. Yeah. The flip phones that they were having, it was like, okay, these are...
There were flip phones in 2007?
Yeah.
I thought that was
smart. Still flip phones now.
I thought majority of people had smartphones around 2008, 2009.
I don't know. I don't work for Sprint.
Neither do I.
I'm just saying it's more present day. It's not like back... It was the 60s in the first one?
70s.
70s? Okay. I would place it early 90s is when the flashback happened.
Okay.
When Mike Myers did his first murder.
Okay.
No, I actually think they actually had numbered dates on in the whole
movie. No, in the...
There were.
No, there wasn't.
No?
And no, it opened with just Haddonfield, Illinois, October 31st. It didn't give a year. It just said October 31st.
That part I know. I'm talking about later on the other flashbacks. They had years after that, I think. No?
Mm-mm.
It just what? Said,
did it I, said I wouldn't have brought up this question
yeah.
if
it, said, it said 15 years later. Didn't say it didn't have a year.
Oh, I just like roped that together with the numbers.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's Halloween night.
Yep.
And he's wearing the same clown costume that the original Michael Myers kid wore, which I thought that was a nice little homage.
Yeah.
So she's going to go to strip club. William Forsythe is going to stay at home and watch a movie. And then the sister's boyfriend is going to show up and, she's supposed to take him trick-or-treating, and he's like, sorry, kid. Why don't you go trick-or-treating on your own?
And because she's got to bang her boyfriend.
Yeah, she's got to bang her boyfriend. But I have a note here. It's a quote from William Forsythe.
Right.
He goes, And I think he's the Dennis Farina of this movie. Like, remember we saw Reindeer Games and we just loved Farina and like his lines and everything? I think he's the Dennis Farina of this movie.
All right.
Anyway, so she keeps messing with him and the line is, bitch, if you don't think I'm making a mental note of all the bullshit you're saying, you're fucking wrong. Playing white trash so well.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Yeah. So the mom leaves and then, he goes out and he's sitting there and he's not going trick or treating and he sees kids walk by and he goes inside and he's eating candy corn and then he just flips. Like, he just, out of nowhere, just, okay, I'm gonna kill him.
Yeah, he just flicks a candy corn on the floor, and then, oh, I'll get a knife now.
You know what? I think I'm gonna fuck some shit up.
Yeah. Like, what?
So, the first death, which I, this had to be your turnoff moment, Adam. This had to be. The first death is William Forsythe. He's knocked out. I'm guessing he's drunk.
Drunk passed out, yes.
Drunk passed out. He's snoring. He has duct tape.
Yeah.
And Michael gets, like, he gets the first piece, which is loud.
Right.
And then he, out of nowhere, he's completely duct taped.
Yep.
And he duct tapes over his mouth, but William Forsythe is still snoring.
Through his nose.
Wouldn't, so he's breathing through his nose.
Yeah.
Wouldn't your body realize, my nose covered?
Well,
wouldn't that wake you up?
If you're that drunk and that passed out from drunk, I've seen some crazy shit where there's people have been duct taped to couches and the couches are put out on the, like, the lawn and they're passed out this entire time.
Okay.
You can do some shit to guys. I mean,
if
they're that drunk and that passed out, they will not wake. You can slap them around.
Yeah. Okay.
You can draw shit all over them.
Yeah.
And they will not wake up.
Yeah, okay. You can even like duct tape people to poles and standing up. It'd be great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the equilibrium for the brain doesn't affect at all.
Yeah, you're gone. You lose time. You're like completely in a different world.
Yeah.
Sorry.
From what I've heard.
With unicorns.
So he's completely taped up and he has his head taped up and he slits his throat.
Yeah.
That
wakes him up.
Yeah, that wakes him up.
Yeah.
And then we find out that the boyfriend who's banging the sister upstairs, he has a Michael Myers mask.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He puts it on.
So that's the interesting way that they brought that into it.
Yeah. Cause in the original, once he escapes the mental hospital, he breaks into a liquor store or a pharmacy and steals a mask there.
Yeah. But just happens to be sitting there.
Yeah.
Isn't the original mask supposed to be, a William Shatner mask inside?
Yes.
Out?
It's molded of William Shatner. It's painted white. This one, it's molded off somebody, but I don't know who it is.
It looks like the original one. It's not the original?
No.
It looks like the original and it's beefed up a little.
Okay.
But I remember reading somewhere that it might have been a copy of somebody's face. Someone who's not William Shatner, but whatever.
That doesn't matter.
So then the boyfriend goes downstairs. Boyfriend goes downstairs and he gets a baseball bat to the head.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Aluminum beats bat. Him. Yeah, yeah. Aluminum bat. Beats
over
him.
Over and over and over and over again.
Goes upstairs and the sister's listening to music with headphones. And Michael starts filling up her leg.
Yeah.
And I'm like, interesting.
That's weird. That seemed weird to me.
Yeah.
Because I'm assuming they're actually related, these two.
Yeah.
Because it could be an option of the new kid is with this douchebag that just got his slit throat.
Mm-hmm.
But he made a comment about his sister, like, oh, she got a fine ass or something through the mom. So that's not his kid.
I just assume that's his boyfriend. That's just the boyfriend who's just there.
Yeah.
And that she has these three kids from someone else.
Right. Yeah. But they're still related.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
So there's like, weird. Yeah, that's exactly how I felt.
And she's like, Michael, answer me. And he's wearing the mask.
Yeah.
Michael, answer me. And she smacks him a few times over the head and just gut checks her.
Yep.
Stabs her a couple times. Actually, not a couple. We found out from the news guy, he stabbed her like 17 times.
Yeah. There's a lot of things that didn't happen that we didn't see happening.
Happened off screen.
Yeah.
Because she stumbles out of her room covered in blood.
Yeah.
Which couldn't come from just that one stab.
Yeah.
And she falls down, and then he goes to the baby, and you're like, holy shit, is he going to kill the baby?
Yeah.
Takes the mask off, and he's like, hey, boo, and gives her a kiss on the forehead.
Yeah.
So he brings her outside, and he's sitting outside, so the mom shows up,
mm-hmm.
and she's like, Michael, what's going on inside? Give me the baby. And she goes, oh, my God. And then the news crews all over the place.
Police already coming at that point.
The police coming.
So does that mean he called the police on himself?
No.
Because as she drives up, you hear the police already approaching before she even goes inside the house.
Yeah.
So did he call the cops on himself?
Ooh, I never thought of that.
All right. Think about that one.
Okay. I think Rob Zombie did write this. So
okay.
Maybe it's a little something he didn't think of.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you find out that this is the biggest crime in the history of Haddonfield, a 10-year-old boy responsible for the death of all these young people and, blah, 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 blah. So
he goes to therapy or he gets in an asylum of some kind.
Yeah, he goes to a mental hospital. He has a long, it's the most expensive trial in the history of the state. I remember the news guy saying,
is that right?
It's the most expensive trial in the history of the state. And he's been sent to a mental hospital and Dr. Loomis is assigned to work his case.
Yeah.
and he's sitting in his cell, and Danny Trejo, who we've seen a lot of different things.
Yeah.
He's a janitor, I think.
Yeah.
He's a security guard.
Or maybe a caretaker, yeah.
Yeah.
He's something.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, at first he's mopping, so maybe he moved up the chain command.
Yeah, but he's also in charge of transporting him to and from places. So he's like, he can't be just a janitor, but he's also not security because he didn't have that uniform that the security guard that died had on.
Mm-hmm.
So it's somewhere in between.
Okay.
Orderly? Do they have those?
Yeah. Okay. That's the orderlies or mental hospitals. And he gives Michael a word of advice like, oh, you know, just keep your head up and these walls can get the best of you, but just always keep your head up, Mike. And Mike just nods to him like, okay.
Yeah.
He's like, he does say also, try to look past the wall.
Yeah. Try to look past the wall.
Okay.
And, this next 10-15 minute sequence was really boring.
It really was.
When he was sitting there, like, so Dr. Loomis is recording him, trying to ask him like, oh, what do you remember from the night? I went trick or treating. And he's like, you don't remember anything. No. And he keeps making masks and the mom keeps coming down to visit. And like he slowly starts becoming a mute.
There's something that bothered me quite a bit about this. Was this
a turnoff moment?
No, no. Because
did you have one at all?
I don't know. No, I don't think I did.
Okay,
I don't think I did. But this is I work in the printing industry. So I'm privy to certain things that other people are not privy to. At one point, the first mask he makes is covered in black scrawly lines.
Yeah.
I'm like, why'd you make it black? Well, that's my favorite color. And Loomis says, actually, that's not a color. Black is the absence of color.
The presence of no color. Yeah. Yeah. And white is every color.
Yeah. Okay. That's fine if we're talking about RGB. If we're talking about RGB and like TVs and stuff like that, that is accurate. As far as printing goes, white is the absence of color. Black is all the colors together. Or it's its own color. It's just one color.
I don't understand.
I get upset when people say that white is all the colors. How can white be all the colors? It doesn't make sense.
Why not?
If you get every single crayon and you start scribbling it on a piece of paper,
it doesn't become white.
If it starts getting blacker, it doesn't start getting whiter.
I don't understand.
What is that to understand?
Because all it is just layer over layer. Crayon doesn't meld in everything together.
Sure it does. That's why you get white. If you get the white crayon and the red crayon,
it's a wax.
It turns into pink.
It's a wax.
But it turns into pink. The colors meld together.
No,
you get yellow and you get green, it becomes blue.
I don't understand.
Okay. How about you, Matt? Do you understand what's happening?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
I understand.
You. It's very upsetting to me as somebody that is in printing to hear that kind of stuff. I know that works in RGB and TVs and LCD screens. That's how it is.
In real life?
In digital life.
Okay. So what you're saying is Malcolm McDowell is wrong. Fuck you, Malcolm McDowell.
Yeah, that's right. Fuck that guy.
That's fine.
He's rude and he doesn't understand printing.
So he's interviewing him. We just find out that he's becoming more and more mute and the days of him communicating are long gone. Like he's just there wearing his mask and he's making different kinds of masks.
Well, he stops talking after he kills a chick.
Oh, yeah. We're going to get to that.
Okay.
So the mom still has hope, and Dr. Loomis has hope. So the nurse who comes in, another cameo, was the nurse in the first Halloween who helped transport him out of the hospital, who was a transporter. So she's the same nurse.
Oh, that's nice.
So the mom brings a picture of him and Lori. Well, we don't know. Her name's not Lori at the time. Just, it's you and your little sister. Why don't you keep it?
It's Bo or Boo.
Boo or whatever. So Dr. Loomis is like, oh, I'll walk you to the elevator. So he's talking to her and saying, oh, maybe we can do shock therapy. And while we're doing that, the nurse picks the picture up and she goes, oh, what a cute baby. There's no way she's related to you.
I know.
And I'm like, what the fuck?
That's so rude.
So the kid gets the fork and just, gosh, shanks her in the neck.
Yeah.
And then you see on the security camera how
he has this wild face. While he's like shaking her, right?
Yeah.
The orderlies come in, you hear, and Loomis is like, what's going on? So they rip Michael off and then the mom's trying to get him and he snaps at her like, and she starts freaking out.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
his mask off too.
I know this guy's he's a kid, but why would you give him a metal utensil? Isn't everyone supposed to get like plastic or something?
Right. Plus, this is not just a kid. This is
he killed three people
in
the most expensive trial in the history of the state, and you're giving him a metal fork.
Yeah.
No, what is wrong with you, sir?
Bad.
So the mom goes home and she's watching footage, like slideshow footage of the family, and she's crying, and you're a gunshot,
and the baby starts crying.
Yeah.
So. Jump to, what, like 15 years later? What is it? 10 years later?
It says 15 years later.
Okay, 15 years later.
But there's a thing. There was a small time discrepancy as far as I'm concerned. Maybe there's a year that we don't know about. But when he first goes in, after the murders, it says 11 months later.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we catch up with him talking to Dr. Loomis and all that stuff. So that's 11 months. Let's say a year.
Mm-hmm.
That's 1 year. And then 15 years later, so that's 16 years total. They keep saying 17 years. So there's a year unaccounted for, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, okay.
Maybe that was a trial part. I don't know.
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
But it's just, I feel like that was the 11 months later. But that's a small thing to get caught
up on.
That's
a possibility. I mean, like, the trial could be, like, the whole, like, 11 months, right?
Yeah.
Then the fact that they didn't know what to do with him.
Maybe or maybe the therapy sessions between him and Loomis took a year, and that's what we were seeing. It was a progression over a year.
Oh,
all the mask
that
stuff.
Would make sense.
Okay. All right. Never mind. I forget my stupid point.
Okay.
All right. So now Mike Myers is huge.
Yeah. He becomes 7 foot tall.
Yeah.
He's 7 feet? That's 7 feet? That's crazy.
Maybe.
Big.
It seems. Taylor Mayne is like 6'10 or 6'9 or something. He's a big guy. So Dr. Loomis tells him, I'm leaving, Michael. Like, I've done everything I could to help you and I'm done. So even the guards in this were white trash. Like, those two white trash guards were fucking with him.
One of them was guard. The other one, I think, was jack off friends. He's like, hey, come in. I work here. You can screw this chick.
Yeah.
But that same stupid, he's a very small, skinny, scrawny guy, and he's talking major shit to Mike Myers.
Okay, we skipped the part. So Danny Trejo was like, okay, Mike, I got to put these handcuffs on. He was like, what the fuck you doing? He goes, don't touch his mask. He goes, I took care of this kid. I've been watching this kid for like 16 years.
Yeah.
Like, me and him
He said almost 20 years. Was like, that's a huge rounding up. You could say 15. It's more accurate.
Yeah.
But.
Wow.
And then he keeps telling him, like, don't fucking eyeball me, boy.
Yeah.
But he's looking up while doing it.
It's like, what the heck? It's like if I went to, like, The Rock.
It's like you went to Shaq. It's like you went to Shaq. Like, don't eyeball me, boy.
Yeah. What's wrong with you?
I'm going to fuck up your room. Woo.
Yeah. I'm like, what?
So they bring out this chick who's a new, like, fresh meat.
Yeah. It was the first day admitted, apparently.
Yeah. So they're touching her, and she's like, no, leave me. She doesn't say leave me alone, but she's like, so like, I got a good idea. So they open Michael Myers' room, and he's making a new mask.
Yeah.
So they go, and they touch her crotch, like, smell that pussy boy. You're at pussy boy. Let me watch him fuck her. So, like, they rape her while wearing his masks.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, yeah. Then Michael just fucking snaps.
By the way, he's just sitting in a cell. It's not like they chained him up first.
Yeah.
He's just kind of sitting there doing his mask, hands free, 7 feet tall. Let's fuck with him. What?
Well, they didn't have any good ideas from the very beginning.
Yeah, no, they were dumb. They were dumb, just like the white trash round at the beginning. They're super, super white trash and stupid. Super.
Yeah, so he kills the guards, and Danny Trejo shows up, and he's like, what the hell's going on?
He killed
and he's like,
everybody.
Yeah, and he goes, Doris, or whatever, the night nurse or the secretary. You see her, like, with the something in her throat just stabbed, and Michael's towering over her. So he's walking around. He's like, oh, my God, Dios de mil. I understand he's Mexican, but you don't have to make him say Spanish.
Yeah.
You have to live up to that stereotype.
Well, I don't know. So every now and then, I do curse in Spanish.
Oh, okay.
Just because, like, it's just a reaction. I don't even speak Spanish that much in my regular life, but when I curse, it's Spanish sometimes.
Okay.
It's
makes weird. You feel better?
I don't know. It's just a thing that I do. It's I don't know. I can't explain it.
Could be fun.
Yeah.
So Danny Trejo's like, oh my God, Mikey, what are you doing out of your cell? And he's looking around. He's blood everywhere. He goes, okay, I'm going to have to get you back in your cell. And he gets the handcuffs out. So Michael puts his hands up, like, okay,
right,
arrest me. He grabs his hands and he fucking slabs against the wall, and then he drowns him. Like, he keeps putting his head in the water, getting back. He's like, I was good to you, Mikey.
Yeah.
I was good to you. And he puts his head back in the water.
That seemed a little weird, but again, he's crazy as shit.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. He rips the TV that's hanging off the wall, and it's like the big
tube
TVs,
TV.
And just smashes it on his head.
Right.
And my note is, Danny Trejo's death made me sad.
Yeah.
Because he, like, took care of him.
Yeah. Yeah. But again, if you're looking for humanity in this monster,
you're not gonna find
it. Sorry, this is the wrong movie to be watching.
Yeah.
It's not a feel-good movie, exactly.
And Dr. Loomis wrote a book. You find out he wrote a book.
Yep.
So he cashed in on, everyone said, oh, you made blood money off of the death of that family.
Right.
And he's at a college. He's giving a lecture on, look at those eyes. Those are monster's eyes.
Yeah.
So Michael escapes, and he goes to a truck stop. And, okay, here we go.
Okay.
The black guy is Ken Foray. Ken Foray. His most, like, what he'll go down in history as is the original Dawn of the Dead, the movie where the zombies are in the mall.
Yeah.
The black guy.
Okay. Ah.
That's where he's from. He was also in Leatherface, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. That's Texas Chainsaw Massacre Part 3. No, it's the third.
Oh.
It's the third one.
Okay.
So he played a truck driver in there too.
Okay.
So
Joe Grizzly was his name.
Yeah. Okay. So he goes to take a shit, and then Michael's slamming him. He goes, hey, brother, I got a Taco Supreme burrito sitting here waiting for me. So you might want to wait a while. So he's slamming on the door again.
Yeah.
He's like, brother, we're going to have some words if you keep doing that. And you hear slamming again. And he's like, all right, boy. And he pulls out this big ass knife.
Yeah. But then he starts having a monologue, which is like, what? He opens the door with a knife.
And this guy's
Joe Grease is about to get crazy on you.
Okay. So he's taller than him, so he's looking up to him.
Yeah. Not much.
Not much, but he's looking up to him.
Yeah.
So he's going to try to stab him, and he just bum rushes him, and he's slamming his hand against the wall?
The divider.
Yeah. in the stall. So much so that it's bending.
Yeah.
He's like, rawr, rawr, and you see him, and he's like, yeah. Ah, and he gut checks him.
Mm-hmm.
Then he steals his clothes, mm-hmm. and they fit perfectly, which, even though he's much taller than him, whatever.
Okay.
I'll buy that.
Well, it was a jumpsuit.
I'll buy that.
All right.
I mean,
they probably had extra room.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They probably make it one size fits all.
So, yeah,
my real problem is,
in the original, he takes Dr. Loomis's car and drives to Haddonfield.
Yeah. Right.
And he's like, how the hell did he learn how to drive?
Right.
And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
Did he walk to Haddonfield?
You saw his feet, didn't you? Which is weird.
Well, he walked to the, okay. Yeah. He might have walked.
100 miles though.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's Mike Myers.
Yeah.
But you saw his feet though, right?
Yeah.
They were all muddy.
Muddy, dirty and everything. And perfect toenails. Weird.
Oh, geez.
Really weird.
That's what you took away?
You focus on the weirdest things, man.
Well, I figured that those are the ones you guys wouldn't focus on.
Yeah,
so
true,
I did.
True. I'm focusing on like dates.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying a person that was actually in the insane asylum that had no one like take care of him like in that sense. Should have some pretty gnarly toenails.
Maybe that's why Trejo was all like, I took care of you. And he's talking about his nails.
Yeah.
That's
weird.
So, Dr. Loomis gets a phone call from another cameo, Clint Howard, Ron Howard's brother.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's the doctor who's like, they let him out. Or he got out.
Yeah.
The really nerdy guy.
Yeah.
Right.
And Dr. Loomis is like, all you had to do was let the monkey die in the zoo.
Yeah.
Old age.
So they're blaming him. They're blaming Dr. Loomis. Like, oh, well, you knew he was crazy. You should have told us. You didn't see that he killed 3 people as a 10-year-old?
Plus, he wrote a book talking about how crazy he was.
Yes. So he's like, oh, you're just going to wash your hands and blame it on me. Well, that's fine. Tell him, Sam, we don't even know. It's that German guy. His name's Udo Kurter, I think.
He's played
in a lot
Blade.
Of different scary movies. He was in Blade. He was the count. Okay. He was the
one of the original, the old one.
Pure Blood.
Yeah.
He was the counsel for the Pure Blood.
Okay.
We don't even know where he's going, Sam. You know damn well where he's going. Now we cut to, Haddonfield.
Right.
And Scout Taylor Compton makes her triumphant return. She was the babysitter in Obsessed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right.
Her mom is Dee Wallace. Used to be Dee Wallace Stone. She was the lead actress in The Howling.
The Howling.
It's a werewolf movie from the 70s.
Okay.
People consider it to be one of the best werewolf movies ever made. I enjoy it a lot.
All right.
Transformation is pretty good.
Yeah. So Dee Wallace is her mom.
Okay.
So now it plays exactly like the original. Same beats. Go drop this off at the house.
Yeah.
Michael's is in the house. Oh my God, he likes me. Oh, hey, you sick fuck. Bah, bah, bah.
Yeah.
They're messing with him. They don't know who he is. The sheriff shows up. Now here's my big problem. I like that he went original. I like that he got the remake. He's like, you know what? I'm going to make this my own story. So he introduced us to this whole backstory.
Yeah.
So then why are you going to copy step by step, except for a few little things?
Even Tommy Doyle,
John Carpenter,
same name.
Yeah,
because in my old notes from last time, it said Tommy Doyle's horror sister, and the same thing in this movie. It's still Tommy Doyle. Like, I get Mike Myers has to stay the same name, I guess.
And Laurie is Laurie.
Yeah, but
well, do you know? Understand? But why are you going to be ballsy and say I'm going to come up with my own original story, and then just I'm going to follow John Carpenter step by step on the second half?
Right.
It's like, why?
It should have been just a whole prequel movie then. I mean, if you want to give us the backstory, then give us the backstory.
Mm-hmm.
But don't give us the backstory and then show us the same movie again. It's although it was better. It was much better. Mm-hmm. Betterly done.
Well, there was a twist at the end.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I know what you're talking about. We'll get to that.
Okay.
He added maybe a few more things. So, just like the original, go drop this off at the Myers house. We're going to sell it. Who the fuck wants to buy that house?
At least the lawn wasn't green this time. I remember that in my notes from last time. The house has been abandoned for so long, and the lawn is still green. This time it was all run down. I'm like, good. That's how it should be. Well done.
My note says this looks like Satan's vacation house. Who the fuck wants to buy this house?
Right.
It's all broken up. And
that's the house of 100 corpses.
Oh,
hey-o.
I like that.
Well, actually, it's more like 10.
Maybe over time. All the animals?
Mm-hmm.
Well made.
Yeah.
Well done, sir.
So Michael's there. He goes back to his old house, and he finds his mask in the cellar.
In the floorboards.
Floorboards.
Yeah.
He finds his old mask. He gets his old knife.
Yeah.
And he finds his old picture of him and Boo.
Yeah. I thought that was given
to
him.
He had that with him.
Yeah, that was.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. The mom gave it to him, so he had it for that time. But right. So he finds his old mask, and now he wears his mask. And another cameo, Annie Brackett, is Danielle Harris.
Okay.
The sheriff's daughter.
Okay.
She was Michael Myers' little girl cousin in Halloween 4 and 5.
Oh. So how old is she?
She's probably in her early 30s.
Wait,
mid to early 30s.
Which girl are we talking about again?
This is the sheriff's daughter.
She's in her early 30s?
Mm-hmm. She looks good, huh?
She doesn't look a day over 18.
Hold on. The 16-year-old? Are we talking about the...
Okay, she's Lori's friend.
Right.
Whose dad is the cop. Yeah. The one who's babysitting
She's not 30.
Look it up, dude.
Are you kidding me?
That's Danielle Harris. She was the little girl in Halloween 4 and 5.
She's playing a 16-year-old.
She was a little kid in the 80s.
So oh, my God.
By 2007, she's in her 30s. She might be even in her late 30s now. She's like Marissa Tomei. Like, she doesn't... She ages well.
She's immortal. Holy Christ. How did she get in there? Sunlight. She was in there sunlight. How did you do that?
No, it was all... It was.
Do you have an age for her?
No, I'll look it up. You guys keep going.
Okay. Right.
So, he uses the same shots that Carpenter did.
Yeah.
Like, Laurie looks out the window, and he's staring at her, and she talks, and she goes back, and he's disappeared. Same shot, same everything. Once again, it takes me to, why are you going to copy the original if you're so insistent on saying, this is my own story?
Right.
But you're using the same thing.
Okay.
I don't know.
It was almost like step for step.
Did you feel like you were watching the same movie from last year?
I did. Like, I know what's going to happen because I saw it last year. Already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the sheriff shows up, her dad, Sheriff Brackett, another cameo. This is Brad Dourif.
Okay.
Does that name sound familiar, Adam?
No.
Okay, Brad Dourif is, do you like Lord of the Rings?
Yeah.
He was in the Two Towers. He was the Worm Tongue, the advisor to the king.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the?
Oh, yeah. He's all like,
yeah, yeah. Do not listen to them.
Yeah.
But he has an even more famous role.
Okay.
I'm your friend to the end. Heidi-ho. He's the voice of Chucky the doll.
Oh.
So the sheriff is Brad Dourif, the voice of Chucky.
Okay.
Nice.
Which is good.
Still haven't seen Chucky, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh.
We'll get to that.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah, we probably will.
Yeah, probably.
So again, Dr. Loomis goes to Haddonfield. He knows what he's looking for. He goes to the cemetery, and Sid Haig is the worker there. He's like, goddamn kids, thinking they have time for this shit. And he sees that the body was taken out.
Mm-hmm.
And the tombstone was removed. And I'm going to jump ahead a little.
Okay.
They gave his sister a giant fucking tombstone.
Yeah.
Like, that thing was huge. Huge.
It was pretty big.
That thing was massive. That's like, fuck, I don't even think JFK had a tombstone that big. And they give it to this hoary white trash girl.
There's also an eternal flame next to it.
Did you get an egg? Yeah. Did you get the age?
She was born in 77.
What?
So she's 30 in 2007.
Holy God in heaven.
Yeah, I told you. She was born in 77, so she was 8 years old when Halloween 4 came out.
Wait, what other movies has she played in besides the Halloween series?
Last Boy Scout with Bruce Willis.
Oh, he got him in.
Yeah.
The Wild Thornberrys.
Well, yeah.
That's a cartoon.
A lot of horror movies.
Camp Dread, Hatchet 3. Hatchet 3.
Yeah.
Hatchet 2. Oh, okay, hold on. Let's go Hatchet 1. It's probably in there somewhere. Yeah, okay.
Holy Christ.
A lot of horror movies, yeah.
Holy.
Yeah.
That doesn't... Ah! All right. So, what were we saying?
So, it plays out just like the original. They're babysitting each other. The slutty friend dies.
Yeah.
Danielle Harris gets stabbed, but she doesn't die.
The guy gets stabbed, again, pinned to the wall with a knife.
Just like
the knife wasn't long enough to go through his body and then have enough into the wall to keep him suspended. Him
there. It's just a standard kitchen knife.
If it was like a sword, then fine. But to support the weight of the body, go in through the entire body and then be in the wall long and far enough to support the weight. Erroneous!
And then he does the same thing in the original. He tilts his head to the right.
Yeah.
Just like how he did in the original. Slave friend dies. Oh, Tommy Doyle likes you. No, he doesn't. Yeah. All this bullshit. Stupid girl who's like spoiled.
Yeah.
They take her down the street. Annie Brackett in the original dies. She gets killed in the car.
Yeah.
Okay. This one, they keep her alive.
Okay.
Because remember the sheriff shows up?
Yeah.
Oh, because Adam, explain the twist.
The twist.
Yeah, you were telling me about the sheriff, how we find out that This is where we find out that's his sister.
Yeah. So so
Dr. Loomis is with Chucky.
Yeah. Loomis goes over to talk to the cop, saying, "Hey, this is about to get crazy," and the cop tells him, he's like, "Hey, I read your book. I know who you are. Like, screw you."
Yeah.
And then Loomis goes on to explain what I assume was written in the book that he already said I read. He's like, look at the cover of this book. This kid is crazy. He just told you he read the book. You just need the whole biography all over again.
I saw the picture before.
Yeah.
It's like, but surprisingly, this makes sense to me now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, now that you explain it that way, got it. Even though I read your book already. So anyway, I found that so like, all right, you're such a blowhard in this, this part. So then they get in the car, they're driving back, and then the cop's telling him, "Yeah, I got called in when the mother shot herself.
Mm-hmm.
I showed up at the house. There was this kid there crying, and like, I didn't want this kid to be part to grow up with that stigma on the life. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, this is the only surviving person out of all these crazy fucks." So what he does is he takes it to a neighboring town and drops it off on like the fire department, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Stoop. What do they call it? Guilt-free release or
whatever. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Surrender or something? Okay. That's going to bother me too. Just like fantasticalizing. So then he gets...
Fantasticizing?
Maybe. That sounds like it could be work.
Yeah. That sounds more than the word you throw.
Yes. Yeah. So then he says, all right, so I dropped off the kid over there at that town. Then I found out somebody in this town that I knew adopted the kid and like shit. So the kid ended up coming back in the town anyway.
Yeah.
But then seemed to have a pretty decent life.
Yeah.
Very, very well. Out of all her friends, she's like the good one. She's the morally soundish.
For now.
Out of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, we find out. Yeah. That's the brother. That's
so, he calls the house to... Oh, and I forgot. Michael killed Lori's parents.
Yeah. But how does Mike Myers know that this is the daughter? Or this is his sister?
Yeah. That was what I was confused about.
Okay. So, remember she dropped off the letters at the... Remember she dropped off the paperwork at the Myers house and he's in there?
Yeah.
He smelled it. He might have smelled it, but then she looks a lot like the sister that he killed. So maybe he put two
except
and two together.
Except she's blonde.
Yeah.
He did smell it. Maybe that's where it all came from.
Maybe.
He's so crazy. That might have worked. I remember smelling it like, that's a weird thing to do. Interesting.
Maybe. But then she looks like the sister. Sort of. They resemble each other. Maybe he thought, oh, maybe this is her.
Maybe.
Just saying.
Okay.
Maybe.
So it's all the same bullshit. The cops show up and like, they go to Brackett's house.
Yeah.
The sheriff's house, and you see that she's on the floor and she calls 911. So the sheriff's like, "Can you repeat that? What house is that at?"
Yeah.
It's at your house, sir.
Yeah. Lori called it in.
Fuck. So he turns around and then Malcolm McDowell's like, "He's there. He got to her."
Where were they going in the first place?
They were going to Lori Strode's house,
which is across the street. Right? So why the crazy U-turn? Like, oh, we got to get there faster.
How far is it? 10 minutes.
Yeah, they're already because the cop car when they get there, the cop car is at the across the street. You see it where the cops died when Mike Myers killed them. So it's like within walking, it's within throwing distance of a stone. That's how close the house.
Well, no. Where the cops are killed. Oh yeah, that's true. Shit.
Yeah. So they're already headed to the exact same place. Why the crazy? Oh, let's step on it and then a weird turn. So
I don't know.
This is a shortcut. You should have done the shortcut in the first place anyway, then. I'm trying to...
You okay? All right.
Yeah, it's stupid.
So Michael shows up with the kids, and they have him in the bathroom, and then...
Oh, Mike Myers breaks down the front door.
Yeah.
Which, in most houses, is the strongest door in the entire house.
Yeah.
So now let's hide in the bathroom behind a glass door.
Yeah.
That's the... We just saw him break down a fucking, like, it's not a hollow core door. This is a straight, thick,
solid wood door.
Yeah,
it's front
he
door.
Just broke that down, like, no problem. Let's go in the bathroom with a lock. And glass.
Mm-hmm. What? Well, at this point, though, it doesn't seem like he wants to kill the sister. Remember?
They don't know that.
I know, but that's the reason why he didn't do that. Get it?
He was about to.
Got it!
Anyway. So, yeah, then the cops show up there, and he breaks through the glass very easily. Shocking. And then he's like, a cop comes up the stairs. Hey, freeze right there! Mike Myers turns around. He starts coming towards him. The
he
cop
shoots him once.
He shoots him one time.
In the shoulder area.
And he keeps advancing, at which point, shoot again. That didn't work. Keep shooting. Unload
the
entire gun.
Bah, bah, bah. He shanks him.
Yeah. So, okay, he's dead. He deserved it. He only got one shot off.
So the cops are like, open the door. Unlock the door. So
yeah.
Right when he hears the unlock, you see him get stabbed from behind. All his blood splats over. That's like, So they open the door, and then they grab Lori.
Right.
He grabs Lori.
He grabs Lori, and he takes her out of the house, which in the original, what happens is...
closet.
In the closet, she fights him, and then Dr. Loomis shows up and boom, shoots him.
off the second floor.
What Rob Zombie added was he carried her back to the Myers house.
Right.
So the kids went running out like, ah, the boogeyman. Cause they're at Brackett's house.
Right.
Right. So, he's there taking care of his daughter, like, hold on, baby, hold on. And then Lubis is like,
his shirtless daughter.
Yes.
Which I feel like, cover up at least.
Yeah.
But whatever.
So Loomis goes down and he knows that he's going to take her to the Myers house. So he tells the kids, wait over there. Goes to Myers' house.
Time for backup, apparently.
Yeah, no time to let the sheriff and the police department know where I'm going.
Yes, the killer's over there. There's some people that are... The paramedics are already here taking care of these people.
I'm a psychologist.
Yes.
Who's old. I will handle this myself.
I don't understand printing, and I'm a douchebag. I got it under control.
Don't worry. I have a 357 Magnum somewhere in my pockets.
Yeah.
So Lori wakes up, and she's... Her slutty friend's body is in the basement with her.
Right.
And then the giant... President Kennedy style Myers tombstone is there with her.
Yeah.
With a Halloween pumpkin lit up. So Mike had enough time to get a pumpkin.
Yeah.
That was nice.
Yeah, that was nice. That was a nice touch. So, although it could have been that the two kids were fucking in the house, they bought the pumpkin for their own maybe. Effect. That's possible.
That seems something stupid they would do.
Yeah. Well, it also wouldn't make sense because there's no power.
Uh huh.
Yeah. So right. They'd have to have light of some sort.
Right. Okay.
So she wakes up and then Mike shows up and she's like, let me help you. And he gives her a picture of them when they were kids.
Right. Yeah. And takes off his mask.
And she's like, I don't understand what you want. He's like,
yeah.
She's like, I don't understand. Gets a knife and stabs him. She runs away.
Right.
And, she's running through the house and he's trying to look for her. Then she runs out in the pool, in the empty pool.
Yeah.
So you could have ran anywhere and you decided to go into a deep pit.
No, she fell. She fell.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. She fell.
She was escaping, like looking behind her, probably, and then, which she should have cracked her skull open.
Yeah.
There were leaves.
There were leaves to protect her fall.
A couple leaves.
No, it wasn't a couple. That was a lot.
All right. But enough to stop an 8-foot drop onto freaking solid concrete.
You don't know that.
What?
It could have been like a 6-foot drop.
Okay. Enough to stop a 6-foot drop into concrete with your head?
Maybe.
Nah, she's got broken everything at that point.
No, well, you don't know exactly how thick those leaves are. They could have been really there for a long time, too. You know what people do? They literally try to jump into those pile of leaves sometimes because it's so soft.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stupid people.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't say it was a good idea.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
So, now he's out for her blood. It seemed like he wanted to just
first of all,
save her.
Lewis comes in, he gets all, like, eyeball pushed it in with his
nose. No. That's after he gets her out of the pool.
Oh, is that right?
So we're in the pool, and Loomis shows up. He's like, Michael, it's me. And then he's going at her with the knife and he shoots him and he keeps shooting him. He's like, stop. And he finally gets him like straight in the back and he drops.
Three times. Shot.
More than the cop.
Yeah.
And he's a therapist.
Yeah.
Who has perfect aim.
Right. And doesn't know really anything about aim. Printing.
And he's firing a 357 Magnum, which has a very high, pull.
That's a kick. Yeah. There's a lot of kick there.
So he gets Lori out of the pool and they go back to his car.
Yeah.
Stolen.
Yeah.
They stole a cop car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Guess. Well, those cops are dead. They're not going to report it.
Good point.
So he's sitting there and she goes, was that the boogeyman? And he goes, why? Yes, it was.
Yeah.
And I like this.
As a matter of fact, I think it might have been.
I like this because in the original, that's how it ends.
Mm.
He shoots Michael. He flies out the top floor.
Right.
And she goes, was that the boogeyman? And he goes, yeah, it was. And he looks out and he's gone. And that's how the movie ends.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, okay, the movie's over. Bam! Michael fucking breaks the glass and pulls her out.
Yeah.
Loomis is trying to stop him and he gets like his eyes pushed in or something happens to his eyes. I feel like someone who's strong enough to rip doors down, if he got a hold of you and pushed your eyes in,
you're dead.
You'd be dead.
Yeah.
But he survived it and his eyes were intact.
Yeah.
What the fuck caused him to bleed?
I don't know. Maybe he was just squeezing his skull together.
I don't know. You don't see him actually open his eyes, did you?
Yeah. No. His eyes are open. Like he's down and you see that his eyes are open. Loomis. So she's in the house and she freaking is in the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And explain the Ninja Turtle. Adam.
Well, first of all, she's hiding in the wall. He starts breaking down the wall, looks in there, he's not there. She sees the gun on the floor next to Loomis, picks up the gun, and then runs and hides, where I feel like it should have been just shoot him.
Mm-hmm.
You got the gun. Why did you grab the gun if you're not going to use it? So,
because she saw it didn't work last time.
What?
Three bullets?
Oh, I guess. But then why grab it? She had some hope. So anyway, she gets it, and then, and she grabs the gun, and then it retreats to the attic.
Mm-hmm.
Which then he goes all Splinter from Ninja Turtles 2. Then
no, he goes Shredder.
Shredder. Sorry. He goes
Super Shredder.
He goes Super Shredder and he starts knocking. He takes his 2x4 and starts nailing up into the rafters. Well, very good aim because he's hitting in between every single, like, where the or the I don't know much about
those foundation beams.
Yeah, everywhere he hits in the roof is between two other 2x4s.
Mm-hmm.
So he just keeps hitting and knocking it. And it's like And I said this is how Shredder died in Turtles 2, where he's like knocking down all the beams, trying to take out the turtles up top, and then the whole thing crashes down around him, which doesn't happen
because he doesn't kill the beam because he hit the structure beams.
Yeah, I guess not, but still, she fell.
Yeah,
it was enough to make her fall
because she wasn't hanging out on the stretcher beam. She was hanging out on just like the small one.
Yeah, so it was a very weird thing for the 2x4 to be used as a weapon that way.
It was kind of cool. I thought it was pretty nifty because he's such a big person, and then he effortlessly uses that to break through the ceiling. That was pretty cool.
He's like, yeah.
He's super. I mean, he's huge.
Yeah, it's a good analogy. He's like the super Michael Myers.
Yeah.
Like if you're using the Ninja Turtles 2,
right?
It's like Michael Myers swallowed ooze and just like,
right?
Because he wasn't this big in the original.
No. And it makes more sense this way.
Yeah.
I like it better this way. Him being this big explains some of his crazy muscular abilities. Yeah. So anyway, so she falls down from the rafters, gets the gun, and like, aims it at him, but doesn't shoot. And then he charges her like this is like the fourth down and 50.
I feel like she's trying to, but she's like out of it too.
Yeah, but he tackles her and throws her off. They both fly off
the second floor. They land on concrete.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So she wakes up
on top of him.
She wakes up on top of him, and she's bleeding all over the place. So she reaches for the gun and she puts it right over his head.
Yeah.
And click.
Yeah.
She's like shit. Tries again.
Yeah.
Click. And then the third time, his hand reaches up, boom, grabs her wrist.
Yeah.
And she's like, ah, boom, shoots him straight in the head.
I think there were three clicks.
Yeah, three clicks. The fourth one, boom, direct hit to the head. Blood flies up all over her face. She goes,
right.
Then it shows a picture of them as a kid.
Right, the baby.
Directed by Rob Zombie.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck?
It was an interesting ending.
What happened right there?
But also, the three clicks. There's only three shots fired in that gun up to this point. So that means somewhere in the scuffle, the revolver
spinned on its own.
Spinned on its own back to its original starting point for it to miss three times and then fire the fourth bullet.
Well, I'm not sure because I don't know guns very well.
Me
but can you, can you spin them backwards though?
I'm sure you can. I mean,
that's what happened.
You must have to. But for it to spin back exactly to the first place it was, I mean, the odds.
Well,
let's just say it was six bullets in there. Uh-huh. That's average, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's a six shooter.
Yeah.
All right. So there's a 50-50 chance it's going to land on a non-bullet versus a bullet.
Okay.
It lands on the perfect one to miss three times in a row. I just like, that bothered me.
Well, it's still possible.
It's possible, but it's really not that possible.
I don't understand.
It's unlikely.
Okay.
Anyway, roll credits. Fantastic. Good job.
Yeah. So that was Halloween. I like that they used the original music.
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun,
that, that was, that dun, was the only dun, thing dun, I think I liked about the first Halloween was the way they used the music because they added so much creepy factor to it.
Mm-hmm.
Although I did feel like the first one did have more creepy factor to it. They used it, I think, a lot more in good times.
Yeah.
And this one, it was just like maybe once or twice they put it in there. Like, all right, it's a nice throwback and it was appropriate when it came in, but a lot more horror was given in the first one than this one, I thought.
And John Carpenter did his own music.
Right.
So for They Live, he did that music too.
They can't all be gems, I guess.
So what are your thoughts on this?
Oh, you're looking at me now.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
I enjoyed it. I actually thought it was a lot. It was nice. It showed like a really good storyline to an actual the mind of a serial killer as it develops from infancy all the way to its full blown like sociopathic tendencies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I also liked the fact that they showed Michael Myers and not just an average dude that was superhuman or some sort of ungodly powers of regeneration, but actually a guy that just is just like hyped up on adrenaline and rage, but he doesn't know how to express it. It's kind of cool.
Okay. Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot more than the first one for sure.
Mm-hmm.
The first one was, it comes down to all horror movies. The reason I don't like the horror genre as much is because I don't like the unexplained killer.
Mm-hmm.
Like this guy is just killing for no reason. He's on the loose and there's no real objective. He just wants to kill.
Okay.
And like that bothers me. This
one, slasher movies?
Yeah. I don't understand it. Like the Hills Have Eyes type of thing. All those things. There's like random killing for no apparent reason.
Ah.
Just because they're crazy. Like, all right, but come on. I don't like that. So this explained it better. So it was more realistic, but it still had a lot of that same feel from the first one. Like, all right, everyone's just stupid in this town to not do certain things that would have ended the movie quicker. But that's a complaint I'll have with every single movie, I think.
Okay.
So overall, well, good movie. Okay. I enjoyed it.
Okay.
But
overall well?
Yeah. It was well done. I'll say that. It was a well done movie.
Mm.
For a Rob Zombie, I mean, I had low expectations because I didn't like The Thousand Corpses. Yeah. I didn't like
Devil's Rejects.
So I just like, all right, stick to music, bro. But then this one comes out. All right.
Okay.
Maybe you got something.
Well, half of it wasn't really his, though, isn't it?
That's also true. Yeah. He's telling somebody else's story.
Yeah.
But he told it well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, though, like I said at the top of the show, that was our review on the movie. We have no credentials.
Yeah.
But now we're going to hear from people who actually have credentials. So we're going to hear from the critics. What do you want to hear first? Good reviews or bad reviews?
Let's hear the good reviews.
Good reviews. Okay. This is from Ken Fox of TV Guide. Zombie delivers a scary horror movie immediately recognizable as his own. Something that will come as a welcome relief to fans who've diligently sat through 7 Halloween sequels in hopes of one day reliving the original's terrifying magic.
Oh, all right.
Paul Simel of Premiere said, Halloween is a real classic style horror movie, not an exercise in gross, gory special effects. Oh, and for those who've missed Carpenter's classic, this will scare the candy corn out of you, but the original is still champion. Adam?
Don't make that face, Adam.
Champion of what, though? What's the battle over? The shittiness?
Wasn't Halloween supposed to be the original slasher?
No.
No. Then what was supposed to be?
The original slasher is Black Christmas.
That's right. We're talking about that.
What's his name? Bob Christmas. He has a weird last name.
They remade that, though, didn't they?
They did remake it.
Because I saw the remake. I didn't know it was a remake.
I love the remake. It's so bad that it's good.
Wasn't it Mike Myers-y? It was like almost the same kind of thing.
He was in a slasher movie?
He was in an asylum, and then he broke out, and then he started killing people.
Yeah.
Okay.
Halloween just set up like the template of the slasher movies that preceded it. The point of view shots, like the virgin girl as the last person alive.
Underage boobs.
Yeah, it was the template for the other slashers that followed. But Black Christmas was the first like slasher style movie.
Okay.
One last review. Tell me what you think of this review. Kyle Smith of the New York Post. I swear it says this. The Batman Begins of slasher movies and one of the more frightening stabathons of recent years. Batman Begins, as in it's rebooting the franchise a much better, darker version of it.
Okay.
Okay.
Bad
reviews. Phil. Okay.
No, that's fine.
Phil Villarreal of the Arizona Star says, finally, we know why homicidal maniac Michael Myers wears a mask. Straight up embarrassment.
That's not true.
Frank Scheck of The Hollywood Reporter says, the result, though undeniably preferable to yet another misgotten installment of the long-exhausted franchise, certainly doesn't compare to John Carpenter's landmark original film.
Whoa. Wow. Whoa. Fanboy. Jesus.
Richard Harrington of The Washington Post says, a film that contains dialogue so nasty and stupid, you'd swear right along with the characters that the booker for Jerry Springer wrote it. It was Rob Zombie.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, that part I can't agree with for the very beginning. Because majority of them were the same person.
They were super exaggerated characters. With a lot of unnecessary cussing, yeah.
Yeah. Now we're going to go Rotten Tomatoes.
Right. Ooh.
This is the part of the show where I make the guys guess the score on Rotten Tomatoes. For those of you unfamiliar with the rating system on Rotten Tomatoes, it goes like this. 0 to 59. Oh, it's 0 out of 100. 0 to 59 is rotten. 60 to 84 is fresh. 85 to 100 is certified fresh. Would you like to guess the critics or the audience first?
Critics.
Okay. The tomato meter.
Tomato meter, I think they're going to give him based on his earlier stuff, they don't do that though. This is hard.
See, this is why I worry about it, because now we're dealing with fan-based critics as well. Not just because this is based upon the old
mm-hmm.
movie,
because you know they're looking at Halloween, the original.
Yeah,
yeah. Which they reviewed and how was that reviewed? The first one.
It was like a 90 something.
Really?
From them.
Very high. Holy God. Very high.
Oh, so they're gonna shit on this then. They're gonna shit on this.
There's a possibility.
All right. I'm gonna say 59.
Okay.
Just enough to get rotten.
Are we talking about critics or
critics?
Oh, 80.
25%.
Whoa.
We were really bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. I thought, what?
20.
Hold on.
25.
Wow.
I knew they were going to be bad on it because they liked the first one so much, but to go that, no, it wasn't that bad of a movie. Come on.
I enjoyed it.
Audience.
Okay. Audience?
Audience could think different.
Audience.
Now, there's a lot of fanboys.
Yes, exactly.
Audience guys.
Yeah.
So we're going to be going close to what the critics did too, probably.
I would say the fan-wise, people, 77.
Okay.
You know what? Based upon what the critics said, I'm going to go 30.
60%. Ooh. It's fresh. It's barely fresh. Fresh.
Oh, wow. Right.
Barely fresh. So Adam
wins. My thought process didn't work at all.
Sucker.
I found some little pieces of trivia for the movie.
For this one or for the first one?
For this one.
Okay.
For the original one.
All right.
John Carpenter has not seen the film and said he would not criticize the film because Rob Zombie is a dear friend of his.
That's nice of him to say.
I feel like that's a fuck you, though.
I'm not going to watch your fucking movie.
Yeah, like, all right.
Because mine's so badass.
Right, no, that's not nice. That's a hey, screw you, buddy. Remake my movie. Exactly. You probably hear some people like, it's your movie. He did.
Yeah.
He did your movie, mm-hmm. but added on to it. In other words, to say, yours missed the things.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I'm not going to watch that shit. Mm-hmm. No, yeah, he's angry.
He's probably saying, I don't want to watch it because I don't want to know exactly what you think of my movie, basically.
Before deciding to go with Rob Zombie's version, the studio was about to greenlight Halloween, The Missing Years, which would have been a prequel set within Michael Myers' early days at the asylum.
Okay. There you go. See, I think that would have been a better move.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's only so much you can do with that younger.
Cause then you're not seeing him in the mask or anything.
Right.
Or the kid. Just the kid only.
What they could have done probably was the end of the movie would have been him killing his family. And everything before that was all his dabbling with killing animals. Maybe fantasizing about killing other kids in the school.
What kind of movie would you watch if that would be the case? I mean, like fantasizing through the whole movie and then finally at the end killing all the people. That doesn't sound right.
Yeah. Or this whole thing. Oh,
it's a slasher movie.
Hold on. Everything, like all this stuff. He kills people, but most of it's in his head until one day it needs to become real.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's drawing pictures of all these people. Or the whole thing happens, him killing a bunch of people and he turns out that's his journal. And he never actually killed those people until he finally snapped and then killed his family.
Ah.
See, that would have been a good one. Ooh. Ooh. Copyright.
Hold on. Let me get this. It's related to what you said.
Oh,
No. Just listen. The actor who sells the guns to Malcolm McDowell's character is none other than Mickey Dolenz of the Monkees fame. He's the drummer and singer of the band The Monkees.
The Monkees? Uh-huh. Who are the Monkees?
Yeah. He's the guy who sells him the gun.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
What are you hunting? That guy.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The film underwent reshoots as a result of poor test screenings. They included a new escape for Michael from the hospital, as well as an alternate ending.
Interesting.
Okay.
What alternate ending was it?
I don't know. I never saw the alternate ending.
Sounds like homework we should do, yes?
Just leave it alone.
Back to what you were saying, Adam. Okay, let me just get through the stats real quick, and then I can go back to that real quick. Okay. Stats. We want to put this film into perspective with other more successful films that were released this year so we can get a feel of how well financially it held to its peers. The production budget of this movie is $15 million. It was $15 million.
Okay.
How much do you think it made its worldwide gross? A total of the domestic box office and the foreign box office.
It cost $15
million? 15.
15.
Yes.
It made $47 million.
Total? Okay.
I hate you. That's what I was going to use, too.
Bullshit. Right?
No, 40. I was going to say 40.
Okay.
So 40.
The worldwide gross is $80.2 million.
Oh, wow.
In the U.S., it grossed $58.2
million. Okay.
And overseas, it grossed $21.9 million.
Does that count as a failure? Because aren't they trying to do better overseas?
Oh, no. They're just trying to get a big total. Oh,
okay.
Yeah, they did
so
very well.
So it cost $15 and made $80?
As far as, like, yeah, they made their money back. But as far as, isn't every goal, because the European market is a much bigger market.
The world market is bigger, yeah.
Yeah, so they want to,
but I mean, if it makes money, it makes money.
This is an American hit, basically.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
I mean, like, the genre is relating to America.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
This debuted in first place on August 31st, 2007 with $26.3 million. This is the highest grossing film in the Halloween franchise.
Wow.
This is the highest grossing film to open on a 4-day Labor Day weekend. That's a real stat.
See, that's why John Carpenter's pissed.
Number two is The Possession, shitty horror movie.
All right.
Number three is The Transporter 2.
Ooh.
Number four is One Direction, This Is Us.
Oh, wow.
And number five is Jeepers Creepers 2.
Two?
Yes.
They made another one?
Yes.
Oh.
Wait. What was the third one you talked about?
One Republic? What'd you say?
Number three is The Transporter 2.
Oh. It was a boy band movie, though?
It's like a documentary sort of.
There's a boy band movie?
It's like a musical.
It's like that.
It's a concert film.
Like that Bieber thing that he came out?
Yeah, sort of. Oh, and last thing, this was the 44th highest grossing film in 2007. Okay, back to what you said, Adam.
Oh, yeah.
When I interned at Trankus Films, people sent spec scripts of the Halloween movies all the time. A spec script is a speculative script. That means I'm a screenwriter. I'm going to write a movie based on a title that you own the rights to.
Okay.
So I had to read I read at least 25 scripts on people's different takes on Halloween, Michael Myers.
Is this before it came out?
This, I interned in 2012. Right. So these movies already came out. These are people who were like, I have an idea for a new Halloween movie for you.
Oh,
read my script.
So Halloween 7 is this?
So it's like Halloween part 11 would be this.
Okay, got it.
And I read some bad shit, and there was one that was similar to what you said.
Is that right?
It took place when he was a kid, and like the movie ends with him murdering his family.
Right. The prequel.
Yeah.
Interesting. I don't know if I like that you said I read a bunch of shitty scripts and that was one of the ideas. I think it's a pretty good one.
Yeah. Well, it's an idea,
whatever,
not a script.
Yeah. Whatever.
It's an idea, not a script, yeah, okay, man.
Guess where I saw this movie, Adam?
On Amazon?
It was.
Wow. How did you go through Amazon to watch this?
I went through the ratpackpodcast.com link banner.
Nice.
Wait, I said that wrong. I said that. I went through the website and I clicked on the banner.
Yeah. You sure you didn't see it like these?
I went to the banner. And I clicked it, and it rerouted to be there.
All right. Yeah. If you want to watch a movie that's on Amazon or even on iTunes, go to our webpage first. Click on the banner on the sides of our page. It'll take you to Amazon or to iTunes, respectively. And that's weird. All right. And you do what you want to do anyway. Shop all the stuff you want to do that doesn't cost you anything extra this way, mm-hmm. but it helps give us a little kickback. It's a commission type of thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So click it. Yeah.
It helps support the show without doing anything extra besides stuff that you already do.
How many clicks? One.
You beat me to it, didn't you? Yeah, I did.
And if you want to do any requests for us for movies to watch?
Yeah, spoilers at ratpackpodcast.com. Or hit us up on the Facebook page as well. Send us messages that way. You can comment on the website for different movies we also previously did. Yeah, just give us some feedback.
And Facebook?
Yep, Facebook. It's Spoilers Podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, happy Halloween, everybody.
Yep.
Enjoy the month of horror. Oh, God. As a horror movie fan, October's the best month.
Mm-hmm.
Every channel is just pumping out horror movies. I love it.
Okay. Yeah.
Love it. So, until next time, this is Hollywood.
I'm Maestro.
And I'm Adam.